Well, more hate unfolding in Pakistan as I speak. University in northwest Pakistan has now come under attack by armed militants. Some of those militants are dead. At least 7 people reportedly killed, 20 injured. We do not know how many of the militants are dead. We'll follow that story. More hate around this planet, huh? Welcome back to Coast. Greg Hunter with us. We'll get to your calls. Greg, before we get to the litany of calls for you, I want to get your take on just this hatred that's happening in the Middle East with ISIS, this horrible story we just heard out of Pakistan. When does it end, my friend?
Listen, the Middle East is a mess, and part of it is our own making. I mean, you know, this is hard for me to say. We funded ISIS.
Yes, we did.
We allowed Turkey to fund ISIS. I was saying this months ago, over a year ago, why aren't we bombing the oil facilities? Why aren't we bombing the pumps? Well, we find out that ISIS is selling the oil through Turkey. And, you know, they got all these weapons, and Saudi Arabia is funding them. And the reason why they're funding this, are freaked out about Iran. Now, this is the fundamentalism of the Sunnis, and Iran is a Shia, and the Middle East is with this deal. They're freaking out that the United States has given them, what, $150 billion lifting of the oil sanctions. They're going to come out with a 500,000 barrels to 1 million barrels of oil. They're going to try to ramp up their production. They're going to flood the world with even more.
Another glut. That's right.
So, I mean, when you look at the Middle East, you look at what we did with our sailors being taken and that, and we're supposed to, you know, you know, the mainstream press tries to, this is in two different newspapers. This is an AP story. It says, U.S.-Iran ties warming over nuclear deal. On the front page that very day of USA Today, U.S. levels new Iranian sanctions 1 day after we get to
I saw that.
I mean.
For launching a missile, right?
You know, we've had Congress people, a couple of senators, or at least a senator or two, or Congress people. I don't know if a senator or congressman is talking about Turkey and Saudi Arabia being our biggest foe, biggest problems, the biggest threat to world peace. I mean, that's what it was. And then you have Iran that is working on ballistic missiles, and we're giving them $150 billion. And in the meantime, the Sunnis, which are freaking out about the Shia, which is Persian or Iranian influence in the Middle East, they're freaking out. I mean, Saudi Arabia supposedly was funding and buying nukes from Pakistan. And back to your hate. The hate is, I think, the big wild card in the Middle East isn't a war between the U.S. and Russia or Hezbollah in Israel, or I think it's between Shia and Sunni, Saudi Arabia and Iran. And I wouldn't be surprised that Saudi Arabia make a move with their currency or do something to punish the U.S. for basically switching sides. I mean, you know, we have in our agreement, supposedly we're going to protect Iran.
Yeah, how's that going to happen? That's crazy.
George, it's the most goofy, knotted up, whacked out, mixed up stuff I've ever seen in any foreign policy ever in my lifetime or anybody's lifetime. And I don't know, it's so confusing and so I don't know if it's by design or if the people in Washington are just incompetent. I don't know.
Let's go to the phones. Keith is truck driving in Wisconsin. On the wild card line, he goes. Hi, Keith.
Hello, George. We, the creatures of the night, salute you.
Thank you.
I got to chime in about Donald Trump because
sure.
I don't think he's what everybody thinks he is. I think he's there to be the Ross Perot of the upcoming election. I believe he's there to get Hillary elected. If he gets the Republican nomination, he's going to pull a John McCain and roll over, and you know, just let Hillary roll all over him.
You know, you're not the first person to say that, Keith, but Greg, I think his ego is getting the better of him as he gets more and more up the poll ranks.
Well, he's for real, and everybody thought he would fade away, and you know, there's two things working here. I think Hillary's going to get charged, and I think people are, even Democrats have to wonder about Hillary. I mean, listen, I don't think she's electable, period. I think Bill Clinton is a huge drag on her. I'm not a Republican either. I think Bill Clinton's a huge drag on her. There's going to be a whole genre of new young women that are going to find out all about Bill Clinton did what?
Yeah.
He did, huh? With a cigar? What? Who? Raped who? Broderick. I mean, it's, Bill Clinton is baggage, and Hillary Clinton. I think the Democrats are going to see that she can't be elected. I think this is by design by Obama. I think it's the death by a thousand cuts. You know, she was well funded, was the front runner, and I think it's 2008 for her all over again.
This is the most screwed up presidential election I've ever seen.
She's going to be charged. There is no way she's not going to be charged now. Today, if you were even thinking she wouldn't, I mean, now she has a level of security breach that is beyond top secret.
Gosh, I still
could die over. Oh, George, come on.
You really
come
think?
On.
Let's find out. Karen in Doyle, California. Hi, Karen. Go ahead.
Hi, George.
Hey.
How are you? Listen, wonderful. I learned something very important. And I thought, oh, no. And I called my county clerk because I was a particular party. I wasn't a Republican or a Democrat. And I actually learned this on Alex Jones last week.
All right.
Guest on.
What did we find out?
And he said, if you want Trump and you're this other party, you better re-register to be a Republican or your vote won't count. When I called my county clerk, she says, you're absolutely right. He said some states take 55 days before it goes in. Well, I happened to be in NorCal, and she said it's 15 days, so she sent it right out, and I will still swing.
Yeah, no,
I
think that has to do with a primary.
Okay.
Not with the general election, but a primary. I think, Greg, if you're registered as a Democrat or Republican, you're in that, right?
Yes, in some states, only Democrats can vote. Registered Democrats can vote for Democrats. In some states,
that's right.
Only Republicans
they,
can vote.
They don't want people screwing up the primary.
But in other states, both, they can do that. They can vote in each other's primaries. They sure can. So it depends on
state. Yeah, so that,
voting
that's
is
right,
done
Karen.
State by state. It is not a federal thing. I mean, there's a federal election law, but voting is done state by state. The election laws are governed by the states.
Technically, if a guy wins 100 delegates, those delegates aren't compelled to vote for him, are they?
Well, they aren't compelled to, but they, you know, they can be taken away at the convention. But I think the Republicans are going to take a long, hard look at Trump. And if he can put New York in play, they, wait a minute. We might be able to work with this guy. I just don't know if the establishment's going to be that, because have you noticed that the nasty attacks have died off?
Yes. Yes. Sarah Palin, by the way.
The establishment is looking at him like, you know, we might be able to work with him. I mean, you know, because I don't think Cruz could knock off, I don't know. I love Cruz, and I think he's great, but I don't know if he can win. I mean, you start talking about putting New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania in play. Oh, boy, that's big.
What do you think of Sarah Palin's endorsement of Trump today?
I think that was a calculated plan by Donald Trump to whack Cruz, because she's a Tea Party person, and she's actually very smart. She was a sitting governor. She had more experience than Barack Obama had going into the presidential campaign. I think that was one of those calculated things. She came out and endorsed Trump, and I think she tried to pick a winner, and she thinks that Trump's going to be the winner. And she helped him. She probably helped him. She really helped him in Iowa. He's really trying to win Iowa. He's really trying to make to take votes from Ted Cruz and the Tea Party votes. And Ted Cruz been spent more time in Iowa than almost any other candidate. He spent a lot of time in Iowa. So
well,
I don't know.
He may get Iowa. Cruz might still win that state.
I think it's going to be close. I think it could be really close. Trump doesn't have to win to do well. He has to win everything else. But if he finishes second or the statistical dead heat or whatever, then goes on to win in New Hampshire and South Carolina and I think Nevada. And I think if he he could be on his way to, because a lot of candidates are going to be dropping out at that point.
All right.
A lot of candidates are going to drop out like flies. They're just going to lose all their.
Every primary, you're going to get another group that drops out.
Yeah.
Let's go out to Anchorage, Alaska. Clint's there. Good morning, Clint. Thanks for calling.
Hey, thanks, George. You rock on the evening radio.
Thank you, sir.
My question sort of is, we're having all this turmoil sort of like the levels before World War I kicked off. And I'm wondering if this is another kickoff this year for World War III with all this turmoil going on. And then Obama's going to use sort of the Constitution and suspend the elections for another 4 years.
Do you think he'll stay in office again and there will be no presidential election, Greg Hunter?
Well, it depends on how bad this whole thing gets. I wanted to bring this up, and that this former Bank of International Settlement banker, William White, he was talking about the bail-ins. We haven't talked about that, where they don't take taxpayer money, they take depositor money. And somebody brought this up to me, and I went and found it online, and it was one of the big banks, it was BB&T. And they lay out in their 2015 banking rules, which they give you and you sign it, that you are an unsecured creditor. And that if they can give...
What?
That if they,
well, yeah, but you have that $250,000 FDIC.
Well, hold on a minute. But if they, and if they're giving you your money is a hardship on the bank, well, they don't have to give it to you. Now, you're talking about an unsecured creditor. That means your real bank is the FDIC. They got, what, 55, 60 billion? 67 billion? And now they're talking about bail-ins in Europe. Their bail-ins have already started in Portugal. They've had banking problems already in Italy. France, you know, Hollande says, hey, we have a financial, emergency going on. So the bail-ins have been set up by the G20 early in 2015. I had Ellen Brown on talking about that, and she says, hey, listen, you look at Dodd-Frank, and you look at the way they have everything. They are super senior with the derivatives. There's $250 trillion in derivatives. The banks are super senior, and let's say that, well, it's I have $250,000 $250,000 insurance. Well, the insurance has to be paid by the government. And the other thing is well, you say, okay, well, then I want my $250,000. Yeah, you can have, remember what happened in Cyprus? Remember what happened in Greece? Oh, you can have 200 euros today. So you may have your money, but you may not have control of it. And they're talking about taking everything after the insured limits, and they're talking about the banks basically taking creditor money, which is unsecured creditors. You are an unsecured creditor in the bank. I've had people report to me, for example, there's a guy in Canada that said, I have four banks for that reason, and I used to be able to go get $5,000. Well, this time I had to fill out paperwork to get $5,000. I could get $2,000 per bank. Then other people have written me and said that I wanted $10,000, and they asked me what I was going to do with it because that's their money. You're an unsecured creditor. The risk of bail-in is big. Back to the problem that could cause martial law. That's what your guest is talking about. If there is a calamity, and this could be the biggest calamity, I think will be the biggest calamity ever, and all the banks close down and everything resets and people get wiped out in their stock market accounts and people get wiped out in their bank accounts and their pensions and their bonds. And the bonds, listen, if these bonds were assets, think about this now, which is a pile of dollars or euros or yuan or whatever. And if you can't make the payments and the economy slows down, that's why this picture of the economy slowing down and the debt exploding since 2008. And if you can't make the payments, then those bonds are not assets, they're liabilities. And we've been told debt, a Federal Reserve note, they actually print Federal Reserve notes after the Treasury gives the Fed Treasury bonds. So after the Fed prints notes. So we've been told debt is money and debt is an asset. We're going to find out neither is true. And if the money goes poof and the asset bonds go poof and the entire economy has to be reset, yet could we have martial law? Yes, we could. Could Obama stay in power? Yes, he could.
Okay.
He signed legislation in February that gave him pretty, and Jay Sekulow was on one of the TV shows today saying this is a little beyond, and they've had executive orders about, you know, marshaling assets in the United States, but the latest, I think it's September of 2015, that he signed some pretty erroneous, tough executive orders that could give him martial law type control. So could it happen? Yes.
It could.
But it'll be touched off with a financial calamity. Think about it. You know, the 47% that have to get government handouts. Think about your EBT cards not working. Think about your, you know, your Social Security check stopping. Think about, you know, your bank closing down for a holiday. Could there be a war to cover that up? Yes. Could there be calamity and social unrest? Yes. Could there be martial law? Yes.
Jeez. It's frightening.
Yes, it's frightening. I mean, listen, this is the you have to grasp this. This is the biggest amount of debt in the world in recorded history. It's the biggest.
And it will get bigger, won't it?
It'll never be more payable.
Let's go to Rick in Idaho now. Rick, go ahead.
Yes, I was a victim of HSBC mortgage servicing fraud.
What happened?
Well, basically, I bought a house here, and the originator was accredited. HSBC assumed the alleged loan, which was a faulty loan. The note was never transferred. They foreclosed, and Telegram Home Loans foreclosed, both asset holdings foreclosed, RCO Legal foreclosed, and they evicted me on a vacated judgment, which is illegal. And they judicially foreclosed on me, and Idaho's a non-judicial foreclosure state. Now we got anywhere from $287 trillion to $5,000 trillion of these derivatives floating around, worthless paper, so that's all going to come home to roost.
I think the five biggest banks have 255 trillion. Most of them are interest rate derivatives.
Right.
And there's credit default swaps. That's what AIG, you know, they took out, Goldman Sachs took out insurance, and they transferred their risk. And then when they asked for the credit default swaps to perform, there wasn't any money there. So that's what AIG went under. So, yes, you're right. That's a lot of money. I mean, $1 trillion is, what, $1,000 billion?
Greg, if people want to monitor what you're doing, what do they do? Go to USAWatchdog.com.
USAWatchdog.com. I have a fresh video with John Williams, who's talking about the real economy and the real numbers. I mean, the unemployment rate is, if you did it the way the Bureau of Labor Statistics did it in 94 and earlier, it would be about 23%. I mean, all the numbers are phony. All the numbers are fake. I mean, if you look at President Obama talking about how, you know, if you're peddling fiction, if you're talking bad about the economy, all the government numbers are fiction. It's just the whole thing's fiction. Most of it is fiction, and it's him giving you this fiction for his Democratic base. I mean, this is bad. People should be buying food and water, and they should be buying things and paying down debt. And if you can afford it and to hold it and not, this is not a trade. This is an insurance policy. You know, have some gold and or silver coins, or you should have some cash. You should have water. You should have rice. There's all kinds of things you don't want to be in the street. When this, what all my sources say, is that when this finally, I mean, listen, we are in a collapse. We have been in a collapse since 2008. You know why I say that?
Why?
Because the Fed policies have been emergency policies.
Hold on, my friend. We've got another break, but we'll be back with more. Okay, welcome back to Coast to Coast. Greg Hunter with us and your calls as well. It's going to be an interesting couple months, Mr. Hunter.
I think the Fed is going to be forced to come out and overtly act. They're going to come out and have to say we're on hold, or they're going to cut back, or they're going to have bond buying. Things are going to get so dicey, so bad, they can't have the dollar implode. The world thinks the U.S. is the cleanest, we have a great economy or a fairly good economy. We really are the cleanest dirty shirt in the hamper. And the world is closing in, and it is closing in at a fairly good pace. If you look at all the bankruptcies, the bail-ins going on overseas, and then next thing you're going to see is individual companies filing bankruptcy. Next thing you see, big companies filing bankruptcies, and that's going to be the death to the banks, and they're going to get into trouble. And listen, we've been in this emergency policy for since 08. We are in the middle of this whole thing that they have put off with fraud and, you know, the LIBOR and rigging of currency markets, LIBOR, gold, all the bond buying, all the money buying, the suspending counting rules. They suspended them in 2009. So they've done crazy things to prop this up, but they've propped it up and they made it worse. It's like you having a little cancer and you having a little pain, and then you got morphine. And you took morphine for the last 7 years instead of, you know, taking chemo, instead of having it cut out and doing the hard thing, right? But you did good. You feel great. What happens to that cancer when you take morphine?
Well, it gets bigger. It metastasizes.
People should prepare. It's getting close. It's closer. People are, you're not going to be able to put this off. And you take a look at the stuff that's bubbling out in the mainstream press, and I look at the mainstream press a lot, and the stuff that's the Dallas Fed president came out, Richard Fisher, and I just want to tell you that he came out on CNBC 2 weeks ago and said, well, yeah, we, quote, front-loaded the markets. We created a, quote, wealth effect. And, you know, people just got lazy. And the Fed's a great big weapon, and we're out of bullets. I mean, that should scare the daylights. You know, run, Forrest. Run. Get some cash, get some food, get some rice. You should probably have a home defense, thing that you might want to buy.
If you're into that.
If you're into that, but what did Biden say? Go out and buy a shotgun. That's probably good advice. That's the vice president. This is going to get hinky. We're getting close here. This isn't like crazy time. This is starting to bubble out in mainstream press.
All right.
This is starting to bubble out Alan Greenspan last year was at the Council on Foreign Relations doing an interview, and the interviewer says, should you buy gold? Yes. Well, could you elaborate? Well, it's the premier currency. It has no counterparty risk. Yes, you should buy gold. Yeah. This is a former Fed head, Alan Greenspan. You can look it up online.
Better than currency. Let's go to the final calls here for you. Barbie in Alaska, west of the Rockies. Hello, Barbie. Go ahead.
Oh, George, what an honor it is to talk to you. I apologize. I have intermittent reception. I live near a very rural place in Alaska.
Okay. Let's get your question in, Barbie, in case we lose you. Go ahead.
Okay. I'm just wondering, what are the final signs that this is really going to be happening? I mean, I believe what you're saying, and I believe that it's very possible. What would be the last chance? Like, you go to the gas station and your credit card doesn't work, or, you know, what am I going to look for in the news? Something that says that this is just about to really come down.
You're seeing it now with the worst stock market start to any year ever. And you're seeing it with the main, it's so common among the aficionados, you know, the intelligentsia, you know, the powers that be, that they're starting to bubble this stuff out in mainstream press. And so you're seeing it now. I mean, that loss in the stock market overseas, the losses here in New York on Wall Street are real. And the next thing you're going to start seeing are individual companies going bankrupt. But don't wait. I mean, all my sources say this, that when this thing really finally, that when the final straw is put on the camel's back, it's going to go so fast, it's going to be like blazing. You're not going to be able to run out and go get ready. And listen, if you buying food and water and rice and putting tires on your car, that's all cheap. And you'll use that stuff up. And if I'm wrong, then, you got tires and rice and food and water. If I'm right, it keeps you out of the street. You don't want to go. In Katrina, a friend of mine live in New York, and in 3 days' time, it went from, hey, peace, love, and happiness, to some guy hit a guy in the head for buttoning in line with a tire iron. 3 days. 3 days. You want to stay out of the street when this thing happens. When your credit card doesn't work, you better have some cash.
Our next up, we go to Chuck in South Carolina. Hi, Chuck. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hi, George. Thank you for taking
sure
my call.
Sure thing.
I want to talk about ethanol here. The additive which the government agreed to be put in our gasoline that makes our gasoline burn faster and also is not so good for our engines. Now, Ted Cruz, he's trying to wean it out. That's his plan for that. I heard a disturbing thing today on a conservative radio about Trump reading a statement, actually reading a statement. This time he wasn't going... off a he wasn't. This is the first time he's gone on a pre read speech, and he was talking about giving the control on ethanol to our gasoline to the EPA, which actually goes in the reverse direction of what he says he wants to do, go, and it kind of goes towards what Obama wants.
Hmm.
Well, it's he was trying to win Iowa, and Iowa is a big corn state, and so that's what he's doing. But I agree with you. I don't think they ought to be subsidizing putting this ethanol. It's terrible, and it's incidentally it's a lot more than 10%. I mean, there are you go buy this Startron, which is like this enzyme, and I had a weed eater, and I did it at 10%, and I took it to the end, and he goes, oh my gosh, they're at 20%, they're at 18%. I got a tester for this, and that was in Missouri. And in North Carolina, I got a guy, a friend of mine has a gas station, and he says that the state of North Carolina came by to test for ethanol, and he says, hey, what are you seeing in the ethanol? He goes, oh, I haven't tested a single gas station with less than 20%. So it's a lot more than 10%, and you can actually go find gas stations. I don't know if you have any in your area. I know where you are. I think it's gas.
They're everywhere.
Gas.org. But no, I think the ethanol is terrible. It's horrible for your motors. It's corrosive. It's you get the worst gas mileage.
I got to get you in touch with David Bloom. You two guys would go head to head. Believe me, he's a ethanol proponent.
Well, it's a fact. You get worse gas mileage. It's a fact. It's corrosive. It's a fact.
Let's go to Bragan in Madison, Wisconsin. First-time caller. Hello there, Bragan.
Hey, George. First-time caller. You have a lot of insiders out here in Wisconsin per capita.
We sure do. They're good people.
Greg, I've been a huge fan for a long time.
Thank you.
On your site all the time. And I wanted to say, since 2008, I've been paying a ton of attention, well, even before that, to John Williams. I printed out a bunch of his documents.
He's on tonight.
Peter Schiff, Max Kaiser, Alex Jones, Gerald Celente, Eric Sprott, Jeff Berwin, and the folks at Zero Hedge. Now, we've had predictions since 2008, which were dire and, in my opinion, correct. However, and I should mention, Alan Brown was at my restaurant, and we had lunch, and she's a very nice lady. But via crony capitalism, we don't really have a grasp on reality. So the patterns are not congruent with what we knew in the past. My question, I guess, for you, Greg Hunter, is do you see, let's say, the patterns that we can rely on are that pre-election cycle, meaning pre-election day in the fall, there is always an opportunity, in my humble opinion, for a major market upset just prior to the election, and generally can be blamed on the prior administration. Do you see anything like that coming down the pike, in your opinion?
Yes, I think the Democrats are very worried. That's why President Obama said, hey, if you're saying the economy is bad, you're peddling fiction. And I think they're coming to the end of, I mean, you look at the Baltic Dry Index, and it's 20% low, below all-time lows. And if you look at the housing starts, I mean, these are the real things they can't, they're just not building houses that they can't, massage. And how have they how were they able to do this? They had Belgium buy $300 billion, $380 billion worth of bonds. They've had, the rigging of the markets, and they've been convicted of the LIBOR. They've been to hold the rates down. They've been convicted of a currency fraud in the Forex markets. What they've done to keep this up, they've suspended accounting rules. They have printed tons of money. They picked winners. The mortgage fraud. It's unbelievable what they've done. They're off the charts. Off the charts of what they've done to drag this out. All the while we've been under this emergency measure. But yes, I think this fall could be very bad. I had Charles Nenner, the market guru, on, and he says it's downhill from here. Well, at some point, I mean, it's going to pick up more and more. And yes, I think we could. I don't think the economy is going to be better just before the election. I do not think it's going to be better. and we could end up going into war. That's one of the patterns that happens with down economies, according to Gerald Celente.
If we are in a war before an election, what do you think is going to happen?
Depends on if, you know, if the America gets hit with some sort of nuke, or like what you're talking about within the commercial breaks with your commercial about sending a, you know, EMP attack where we knock out, you know, a quarter of you know, the southeast or the northeast, you know, the power that we have an electromagnetic pulse attack. I mean, you know, who knows? We have a nuke go off. We sink an aircraft carrier in the Persian Gulf. You know, I don't know. We are not in a situation where the economy is robust if we go to war. The economy is fragile. The banking system is in tatters. It's fragile. You know, all this the derivatives that we have, which are debt bets, which everybody expects to get paid off. It's a fragile system. So to the caller's point in Wisconsin, we could have an upset before the election. Yes, we could. I mean, what's been going? Nothing would surprise me. I mean, we incidentally, the deal that we signed a deal with I was going to say we signed a deal with Iran, but we did not sign a deal. That is not a signed deal. That's according to the Kerry State Department. There is no signed deal. Google it.
What is it? A handshake?
I got a letter from the Kerry State Department saying there's no signed deal.
What is it?
Nothing would surprise me.
What is it? A handshake?
Yes, it is. Mike Pompeo, the congressman from California, called the Kerry's State Department, and they wrote him a letter saying there's nothing signed. But, you know, we have these snapback regulations, and we have an agreement, and there's no signed deal, George. That's a fact. There is no signed deal, according to the Kerry State Department.
Ed is in Philadelphia. Hey, Ed, go ahead.
Hi, George. Hi, Greg. I have a comment as well as a question.
Sure.
Regarding Hillary, she's got the press and the media in all of her pockets, and they aren't reporting her corruption at all. People's brains know all about her corruption, the gun running in Benghazi, arming al-Qaeda to overthrow what she considered dictators, and the ordering of our armed forces to stand down when they were within minutes of rescuing the ambassador and the brave soldiers. All this on top of the classified and top-secret classified emails on a regular server that she had. If people don't see it on the evening news, they don't believe it. The news is nearly silent on all of Hillary's corruption, not to mention her husband's rape victims coming forward and saying that they were silenced by Hillary and Bill and they feared for their lives. My question, trying to be quick, Greg, in your assessment that Hillary will be convicted, have you ever taken into consideration the paper trailless e-voting machines, which have in the past changed elections completely, especially in presidential primaries? And an example, in 2005, Howard Dean was the front runner in the Democratic primaries. He was the presumptive winner, polling on top, and then General Wesley Clark was second, I believe, or third, and John Kerry was at the bottom in the polling. But at the actual election, John Kerry magically was swept up from the bottom all the way to the top, winning the Iowa caucuses and the New Hampshire primary. And they simply announced it on the news. Oh, look, John Kerry is now the front runner. No one asked any questions. I believe they're going to railroad Donald Trump the same way, placing Cruz or someone else on top, and then say, oh, goodness, look at that. The polling was completely off. You know, Cruz is number one, and he's going to win the primary, and it's going to, you know, domino effect. And they're going to pull out the wool over everyone's eyes again. I was just wondering if you took that into consideration.
But I'll tell you what is giving the Republicans some pause, and that is, wow, Donald Trump might win New York. Donald Trump might win New Jersey and Pennsylvania. I mean, when they had that poll, it was a legitimate poll that came out and said 20% of Democrats would vote for Trump. And so, you know, Howard Dean, 20% of Republicans weren't going to vote for Howard Dean.
No.
But your point may be correct. I mean, there's a lot of fraud and corruption everywhere, including in the election process. So nothing would surprise me. I'm not arguing with that on that. You may be correct. It may be Jeb Bush that they sweep up to the top. I don't know. Yeah.
Time to talk to Bev Harris from Black Box Voting and find out what the heck's going on with these things, huh?
Well, yeah.
David in North Dakota. Hey, David, go ahead, sir.
Hi. I just had this theory that Obama actually wants to get out of there as fast as possible. And, like, people get on him for that global warming thing that he did instead of dealing with things. And I guess my theory was is why no one else would or who would really want to deal with what's going on. And then I guess with the gun control that he's been going after, I think that's actually kind of brilliant because half the people think that having guns keep them safe, and the other half think that not them restricting them keeps them safe.
So you think he wants out and out fast, huh?
Yeah.
Well, he's got his eye, and I've heard in published reports that he wants to take over the Secretary General of the UN.
Really?
Yes, I've heard in published reports that he wants, that there's a possibility that there's been some speculation that I think Ban Ki-moon, is that all right, Ban Ki-moon? Isn't he the one that's he's stepping down, and he may want to take over in early 17? I don't know.
We heard Bill Clinton wanted that too, remember?
Yeah, I don't think he's going to make it. I don't know. He's been so. I don't know. I think they would go for Obama. I really do. I think they would. I think that would be a job that he would probably get.
It might be a good job for him.
Maybe he could do it.
Do we want dynasties though in this country again? The Hillarys, the Bushes, the Clintons.
I don't think the
Kennedys
done so poorly. And with the money he got, remember he was the front runner. It was going to be Hillary and Jeb.
Yep.
And he was the front runner.
That's the prediction.
$100 million war chest. He hasn't finished higher than what, fourth?
It's not over yet.
I know. He might get. I don't know. He might get swept up.
You know what? If he shows up in Iowa, in New Hampshire, and wins these caucuses and primaries, something's weird. Would you agree?
It can't be. You know, if it's close, they can do something. If it's way off, I mean, I am not sure. I'm just not sure they can, you know, they can be that overt. John Kasich supposedly is done a little better, although the Democrats say that don't worry about the poll up in New Hampshire. Right now, it's just, Trump could turn into Howard Dean. I mean, who knows?
Who knows? Hey, Greg, thanks for being on the show. Keep in touch, okay?
Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Greg Hunter, USAWatchdog.com. Up next, Dr. Michael Shermer joins us as we talk about the moral arc, how science and reason lead humanity toward truth, justice, and freedom.